I'm Mike Breen, AMS Public Awareness Officer, and I'm talking with Clint Dawson, who is the John J. McKetta Centennial Energy Chair in Engineering and head of the Computational Hydraulics Group at the University of Texas. And we're talking about work he's done modeling hurricane storm surge. We talked a few years ago about this, and as you might expect, Clint hasn't just put his feet up since then, just relaxed, so we thought we'd find out what he's been doing. So Clint, you are still working on modeling storm surge, is that correct?
Yes, we are.
And can you refresh our memory as to what kind of math goes into that?
Okay, so basically we have a computer model that solves the shallow water equations in coastal regions. It basically includes a lot of the ocean so that you can track the storm across the ocean into, say, the Gulf of Mexico or up the East Coast and then into the coast and then finally into the floodplains and wetlands and the coastal region.
So are there, like, do you have at your fingertips the particular kind of math that's used? Is it, for example, PDEs?
Yeah, it's all PDE-based. It's just it's happening at a lot of different scales, and both in space and time. And when you go, say, from the coast, you know, you're talking in the ocean, you're talking at the kilometer scale. You get into the coast, you're talking in the hundred meter scale. You get into a municipality, maybe it's at the 50 meter scale that we can handle. But if you want to get down into the sort of the rainfall scale, you have to talk about networks of channels that feed into various tributaries and rivers. You have overland flooding. It's all basically fluid equations, but it's fluid interacting with surfaces, surface water interacting with drainage systems and groundwater aquifers. So it's a lot of PDEs, but it's coupling PDEs at different scales in space and time and figuring out what the correct PDE is in a given area based on the physics. So there's certain, you know, you could start from the Navier-Stokes equations, but there's certain terms that are more important. So in some areas you can drop those terms, and sometimes it's 1D, sometimes it's 2D, sometimes it's 3D, and it gets complicated that way.
Do you have much better models now?
Yes. Well, we have much higher resolution models. They're always getting better as we get more data. I would say the physics hasn't changed that much. We have added waves on top of the storm surge. We get hopefully better wind models with time. We use wind as a driving force to our storm surge model, and so those are getting better. And we just have a better understanding of the coastal processes than we did, say, 10 years ago.
And you did some recent work before Hurricane Harvey.
Yes. Well, we did some work predicting Harvey when it was about to make landfall. We were running our model in real time, producing forecasts as the forecast came out from the National Hurricane Center. And we were posting those results at the Coastal Emergency Risk Assessment website at LSU. And they were getting a lot of hits from different agencies and from people, stakeholders, and so forth. And we were also sharing our results with the Texas Division of Emergency Management in real time.
And did that help people a lot or help the agencies a lot?
During the storm, it was helping the Division of Emergency Management, especially with transportation issues like where to deploy first responders, whether or not to close bridges or shut down ferry operations and so forth, so that impacts evacuation strategies. Also in terms of search and rescue operations. After the storm, we have continued to model Harvey, looking at we've been working with some people here and at other places who have collected data, and we have been trying to see how our model compares to data.
Do you think people are better protected now?
No. The short answer is no. I think they're more aware of, say, the impacts of hurricanes, both from a wind and a storm surge perspective. I think people are certainly more willing to evacuate more quickly. In terms of better preparation, every event is different. If you live on the coast, you can prepare as much as you want, but you're probably still going to be damaged one way or the other. and it's just a fact of life. So you just have to learn to live with that and to sort of know your risk. I mean, the area that was impacted by Harvey probably hasn't been hit by a major hurricane in quite a while. I don't know how long ago, but it's not an area that normally gets heavily impacted by hurricane on a regular basis.
You're very involved, obviously, in what's going on with hurricanes and the damage that results. How do you feel in general? Do you shake your head when you see certain kind of building, or when you see officials like maybe don't have the money to do the things that need to be done? Is it upsetting?
Well, it's part of the trade. I mean, I think it's part of the problem is that we don't have sort of a general plan of what to do. Sort of each state does its own thing. It's a very expensive proposition to build protection systems. I'm not sure that we could build something on the order of, say, what they have in the Netherlands, which is a multi-stage, set of dikes and levees and so forth, as well as pumps to pump water out. They've been doing that for 50 or 60 years. And we're really, the U.S. is just more segmented. I mean, every county, every municipality has a pretty strong opinion about what needs to be done, and they have the right to express that opinion. We're a collection of, in Houston, I've heard there's outside of the city of Houston in Harris County, there's a hundreds of municipal utility districts. They have their own elected officials, and so anything that would be done for Houston would have to pass muster with all of these different interest groups. So it's a hard problem. I mean, it's a hard political problem.
It probably is a hard, modeling problem to start with that you're working on, and then you bring politics in. That makes it much harder.
Yeah, well, the modeling of the rainfall is still not adequate. And the modeling of the rainfall coupled with the surge is very much in its infancy. And so I think this is the kind of problem that we're going to face a lot in the future is these combined events. We've seen it with, well, we saw it with Harvey. We've seen it with like Hurricane Matthew and Hurricane Sandy. I mean, there are storm surge effects, but there's also huge amounts of rainfall that can happen anywhere, that can happen away from the where the storm makes landfall. And those events are hard to predict. They're hard to model because it's hard to get all the data. It's hard to predict how much rain is actually falling over a given area in real time, and then it moves so fast. So it's a difficult problem.
That does sound complicated, and the fact that you could get a forecast in real time is pretty amazing.
Well, that's been a lot of work over a number of years by a lot of different people, not just my group, but groups at University of North Carolina, LSU, Notre Dame, various agencies that we work with, Army Corps of Engineers, even consultants, so forth. So it's a community-wide effort.
And now I've asked particular questions. Are there any big issues or anything you'd like to address that we haven't touched on yet?
Well, just that there's still a lot of research to be done. I think that the models that we have now work well for certain things as we try to understand more complicated processes, as we try to understand the impacts of climate change, of changing coasts, of the impacts of development along the coast, population, demographics, and so forth. It's a problem that involves math and engineering and various disciplines of science, social science, political science. So it requires interdisciplinary teams of people that maybe don't always work together. I mean, even the rainfall community versus the storm surge community, those have typically been in isolation from each other, and they're just now starting to really have to cooperate.
That trend to multi-disciplines is one that's common with lots of things, and often getting people together like that, it works out.
Right. It requires investment from the agencies, from the funding agencies. Certainly NSF has tried to push this. Another thing that I've observed more recently is the gap between sort of fundamental basic research and what is actually transitioned to the agencies that have to make the decisions. So there's sort of this research to operations gap that is missing, and that's going to require cooperation from, like, between NOAA and NSF. It's going to require cooperation across agencies and across even, say, state agencies working with federal agencies and different entities working together that normally don't work together.
All right. Well, good luck with your research, Clint. That's Clint Dawson, who's at the University of Texas. Clint, as I said, good luck, and thanks very much for talking with us.
Well, thank you.